I've had many names. Most recently, the few that know me, and I mean really know me, which isn't many, call me Schrodinger. I guess it's more of a code name more than anything. Not that I'm a spy or a superhero or anything like that. But it's a name I can appreciate for its irony. Schrodinger was a physicist who, among other things, studied things like quantum superposition. That's a fancy word that means that a quantum particle can be in multiple states at once until someone actually observes it. Then, it collapses the wave function and it commits to that observed state. You may know him from the thought experiment about Schrodinger's cat. That's the one where a hypothetical cat is put into a sealed box. A device attached to the box monitors the state of a quantum particle that has a 50-50 chance of decaying. If it does decay, poison gas gets released into the box, and the cat dies. The twist is that the cat is in a sealed box. Because its fate is tied to that of the particle, until we check the cat, it's trapped in a state of both being alive and dead at the same time. You don't know until you look in the box. That's a cruel experiment, but as I said, it's just a thought experiment. No one has actually ever tried it. At least, they better not have. But it's also pretty cool. It's science, which I like. It also involves boxes, which are cool. There's nothing like a box to explore or curl up in. What does this have to do with me and my name, though? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm like the cat. I'm trapped in a state of being both alive and dead at the same time. Because I am a vampire. Yeah, we exist. If you can have quantum particles that exist in multiple states at once, how are vampires that much weirder? The universe is a very strange and wonderful place, with just about anything being possible. Most myths, legends, or even urban legends have a basis in truth. There's also one other way my current nickname is appropriate to me. I'm a cat. Well, part cat. I'm a cat girl. Again, both human woman and female cat at the same time. But I look mostly human. So, yeah, cat girls exist. Vampires exist. At some point, the Venn diagram of the two overlapped, and here I am. I was born a cat girl long ago and far, far away. I was a young cat woman when a curious vampire with a taste for the exotic tasted me. The rest is history, although not the kind they'll teach you in school. My multiple natures work together in weird ways. I need blood. I love milk. Oh, and I like coffee too, although it sometimes keeps me up during the day. My favorite is something I invented called the Draculatte, which is steamed milk and then equal parts espresso and blood. I'd say I live off those things, but the living part isn't technically true, is it? I have my sources for the blood. Mostly it's from the few people that know me enough to call me Schrodinger. Sometimes it's their own, drawn under their own terms and saved for me. I don't ask too many questions other than to specify that I don't want them to kill anyone for it. I don't like people dying. The problem is, I really do like killing. Or at least the hunt. I'm a vampire that's also part cat. I like chasing down my prey, playing with it, being somewhat evil with it. If I don't get the blood, I will die. But if I don't get the thrill of the hunt and the kill, eventually I'll just go full predator mode and kill everything in sight. So now and then, I hunt bad guys. Or girls. But statistically speaking, mostly it turns out to be guys. And men are more fun anyway, because they usually put up more of a struggle. I've made the big city my home for a while now. It's easy to make the connections I need and get the blood I need for daily use. And a good coffee. There's also no shortage of bad men that no one will end up missing too much. Oh, and the nightlife. The city is awake all night, just like I am. Even as so many are sleeping, others are working or playing. There's a party going all night somewhere, or clubs that are open until dawn. Those are all good places for me to hunt. The diverse and rich culture of the city is such that a girl with cat ears and a gothic appearance at a club isn't any stranger than a lot of other people at them. I was at one such club tonight and had found the perfect prey, another predator of sorts, but nothing like me. A man who was talking to a younger woman and who had discreetly poured something into her drink when she wasn't looking. Yeah, he had to die. My plan was simple. No offense to his prey, but I was far more interesting to look at, and I could play even more innocent and helpless than her. I'd steal her drink, immune to all of its effects, and then steal him. Not that she wanted him if she knew who he was. To her, he was just a guy sharing a table and who had bought her a drink. I was going to keep it from ever moving beyond that stage. I had just begun moving through the crowd when someone else intervened. It was just some random guy who had been nearby and who had also seen what was going on. He confronted the guy about drugging the woman's drink. Of course, the first guy denied it, so the new guy challenged him to drink it then. The first guy's reaction to that was to yell at the would-be hero and then lunge at him. The drink was conveniently knocked over in the process, and the two men struggled as the crowd began to clear around them. Suddenly, there were more men. It wasn't bouncers. They didn't move that fast in this place, and it took more than some shoving to get their attention. It was the first guy's friends. They started to drag the newcomer to the nearest exit as the crowd parted to make room. It seemed the only hero in the room was about to get dragged outside. If he was lucky, he might only get roughed up pretty bad. If he wasn't lucky, he could be killed. All while the bouncers turned a blind eye to it. This was turning more high profile than I'd normally like. But honestly, I really hated this first guy, even though I'd never seen him before. And fuck his friends, too, for helping him in any way, or just being his friends. And as for the White Knight? Well, call me old-fashioned, but a little bit of chivalry goes a long way in my book. I made sure the woman was okay. She had gotten together with some of her friends, and they were apparently rethinking their choice of entertainment that night. They were making their way for the safer and more brightly lit main entrance. They were going to be okay. It was someone else that needed saving now. I followed the men out to the back entrance. The crowd didn't part from me, but I moved between them like a lioness through the tall grass, and then slipped out the door into the alleyway before it could close behind them. Two men were holding the White Knight from behind. The would-be sexual predator was about to start unloading on him with some brass knuckles he had produced, so I walked between them. Everyone looked surprised, even the White Knight. Well, I didn't look surprised. I knew exactly why I was there and what was going to happen. I turned to the White Knight. "Sleep," I commanded him. He went limp in the captor's arms, confusing them, I didn't want him to see what was about to happen, or to try to interfere. And then I went to work. Rather, I started to play. However you want to phrase it, I worked out my hunter's instincts very well in the next few minutes. Somewhat discreet cat claws grew and combined into vampire talons. Cute little catgirl fangs grew longer and far more deadly. They wouldn't have known what hit them if I wanted it to be that way. But I wanted them to suffer and to feel terror before they died. When he woke, it was in a bed in a hotel suite at a place that didn't ask questions. Not even when the petite goth girl with cat ears walked in with an unconscious man twice her size slung over her shoulder. I had safe houses and secret hideouts throughout the city, but this one was the one I used the most consistently. It also worked well for several special occasions, and I had a feeling this guy was definitely going to be one of those. "Don't worry," I told him gently. I was looking as human as I could at the moment and had cleaned up a bit. My cute little cat girl bottom was seated sideways on the arm of a big, comfy love seat facing the bed, my dangling legs not quite reaching the floor. I wanted to be as non-threatening as possible and most definitely cute looking. He was getting a good view of my profile, so I knew I was looking especially adorable. I could have mentally commanded him to be calm and to find me irresistible, but that would have tainted the situation I hoped for that night. He sat up tentatively. "I'm not worried, I think," he said, understandably a little confused. He looked around and then took a physical inventory of himself for bruises, cuts, or missing kidneys, I guess. He did just wake up in a hotel room with a strange girl. Then he looked at me. I don't know if he remembered me intervening in the fight or not. When I start dominating people mentally, even if it's just to put them to sleep, sometimes it does weird things to their memories. He finally decided to ask the obvious question. "What happened?" I shrugged. "You beat the crap out of that would-be sexual predator and his friends. They won't be messing with any other women ever again." The first was a lie, but the second was the truth. No one would ever find their bodies. "You ever see John Wick?" "Cool movie. I have people I can pay to take care of my empties for me when I'm done, just like John Wick and the others in his movies. It's no different than putting out my empty milk bottles or blood bags for recycling." He thought for a moment. "Do you really expect me to believe that?" I shrugged again. "I could make you believe it, but I figured I had a better chance with that lie than telling you I'm a vampire cat girl who saved the guy who saved the other girl tonight." I usually wasn't this forthcoming about my identity, except to a select few. Or to those that weren't going to live long enough to reveal my secret. But I was getting good vibes off of this guy. My vampiric psychic abilities, feeling, instincts, and feminine intuition were all telling me I could trust him. Maybe even more so than I had trusted anyone since I turned. If I changed my mind, I could always erase his memories or just rip his heart out or something. He didn't believe me anyway. At the same time, he didn't call me on it. He seemed the type to let people be who they wanted to be. No questions asked or judgment passed. He did look a bit amused, though. "So, are you gonna bite me?" I thought it over. The odds of me biting someone else instinctively were at an all-time low. I'd gotten my fill of violence and mayhem for a while, and also of blood. Since turning into a vampire, I'd also learned to suppress my catgirl urge to give playful and adorable bites to people around me, lest I end up surrounded with newly turned vampires. Which was too bad, because biting was my love language. Long before love languages were a thing. Wait, what was this question again? Oh, yeah. Was I going to bite him? No, I told him with a smile. Perhaps he could see my fangs as I did so. They came as part of the catgirl package, but I could make them even bigger in vampire mode. Painted claws could be mistaken for fake nails, except when I grew and extended them like I did against my prey outside the club. Catgirl and vampire were actually a very effective killing combination. The tail was pure catgirl, although easily enough hidden under my skirt, as it was now. There were also uniquely vampire things, kept even more hidden, unless I was really letting myself go. No, I won't bite you, I repeated. But we could have some fun, if you're of a mind to. As a vampire, it's hard for me to find a nice guy. One that I can trust around me, or trust myself around. One that I can trust with my secret. I let my tail slip out from under my skirt then. It needed to move around some, and it was time for him to get proof of what I was saying. He saw it immediately, but didn't believe it right away. He looked at it, and incidentally, at the cute little bottom it was adjacent to, and then looked back at my face. Is that thing under your dress real? He asked, tentatively. I pivoted on the arm of the love seat then, crossing my legs and leaning in just a little to show more cleavage. The tail was still partially visible, swaying back and forth behind me. Everything under my dress is very real, I said as innocently as someone my age can sound, which is actually pretty innocent since I've had centuries to practice. He moved to the edge of the bed, closer to where I was sitting. It was hesitantly, but not with fear. Maybe there was some confusion, but also a lot of interest. You really are a cat girl? He asked. I nodded. And a vampire. I'm also a big coffee addict, fan of trashy romance novels, and lots of other things. I hopped down off of the love seat's arm, my skirt showing just a hint of what was underneath before falling back into place. But, of course, I'm also a woman. You, may have noticed that part. That part obviously was not escaping him, largely because I was making sure it didn't. Although, honestly, it was pretty hard to miss. In fact, he was struggling to keep his eyes on my face, even if it was very pretty. It's just that the rest of me was pretty awesome, too. He nodded as he looked at me. I did notice. He was handling all of these revelations pretty well, which meant I had made a pretty good decision in choosing him. Then he tilted his head to the side a little. So, if you're not going to bite me, what are your intentions? I took a few slow, graceful steps forward. Well, I think someone deserves a reward. I smiled. Actually, both of us do, for helping to make the world a better place tonight. And I did say something about having some fun earlier. The dress was normally a little more difficult to take off. But a little vampiric magic does wonders in helping undo laces, buttons, and other fastenings in very short order, allowing the dress to fall to the ground like it was just a nightgown. I let him get a good view of my entire naked body, even doing an impromptu spin so he could see the tail and everything. Just to be clear, I told him. You're free to go if you want, or just to say no, but I really hope you'll stay and that you'll say yes. He smiled back at me. He'd let himself look at my body since I had so enticingly put it on display for him, although his gaze always ultimately returned to my face. I'm not going anywhere. Well, that wasn't strictly true. He did stand up and close the remaining distance between us, taking me in his arms. We kissed, with me being careful to keep the things fully retracted as we did so. I helped him out of his clothes with my hands, and a little more magic as we kept kissing, with me exploring his newly exposed body simultaneously, while his hands caressed all of my softest and silkiest parts. We moved to the bed, where I laid on my back as his head went between my legs. It was a departure for someone else to put their mouth on me, at least since my initial turning. This hasn't been in fashion since I was sexually active, but I welcomed his lips and tongue. I held onto his head with my hands and thighs, mindful of my super strength. I would have liked to return the oral favor to him, but my fangs and the risk of putting any body part too close to a vampire's or cat's mouth was too dangerous. He seemed perfectly happy to pleasure me, and to receive pleasure from that and just being with me. I came at long last, loudly, and without accidentally killing him in the process. He would have kept going, but I told him I wanted to make love now, so he obligingly moved on top of me. He kissed me again and nuzzled one of my ears with his nose and then his own lips. I moaned softly and begged him to take me, fighting not to turn it into vampiric domination as I did so. But it was his own free will and lust that guided him into me with a gentleness that was unnecessary but was still entirely welcome. It had been far too long since I'd been with a man or woman. I had been afraid to, but the desire for intimacy was just as insidious as the thirst for blood, even if it was more easily resisted. It was even better than I remembered from when I was alive. But my body's senses had been heightened, and my feelings, perhaps even my libido, except I had been keeping that suppressed for what seemed like forever. Well, no more. I was having sex, and doing a pretty good job on my side. You didn't forget how to have good sex, any more than you forgot how to ride a bicycle. I'd never ridden a bicycle, but you get the idea. I still had my talent for sex, and my new paramour was both talented and focused on my pleasure, even more than his own. Well, no more. I was having sex and doing a pretty good job on my side. Passion surged within me, and multiple stirrings ran through my body. One of them I had to address immediately. I rolled over on top of him, careful not to hurt him in the process, as I ended up sitting astride him. Then the bat wings emerged from my back, extending to their full wingspan. I couldn't contain them anymore. The sex was that good. He didn't seem too freaked out. And for a moment, I could pretend I wasn't some stupid vampire, but rather a super sexy succubus, except I wasn't draining life force from my lover. Oh, I would happily drain his cum. As for his life force, well, if anything, he was more alive than he had ever been. He lay beneath me, his hands on my hips, as I bounced up and down on him in ecstasy, looking up at me like I look at catnip. I think I may have been staring back with some fondness, but I was so focused on the sex, I couldn't be sure. All I knew for sure was that I was feeling more alive, more human than I had for centuries, and that I was going to come again very soon. But this time, with his cock in me, hopefully followed by his cum. And then that moment was upon us. Except it wasn't a moment. It was somewhere between the blink of an eye and an eternity, the entire time filled with ultimate passion. It was somewhere between the blink of an eye and an eternity, the entire time filled with ultimate pleasure. I lost myself in the feeling, forgetting that I was technically a creature of darkness. I felt filled with light and love, and as if I were radiating both back to the universe. Then I came back from my temporary heaven and felt my wings slowly withdraw back into my body. I collapsed onto the bed next to him and into his tender embrace. I nuzzled my face against his neck, but didn't once think about biting it. Nor did he seem concerned about that possibility. We lay like that for a bit, but it was getting late, and I knew the sun would be rising soon. The windows had all been permanently bricked over in this suite, but whether I could see it or not, the sun being up drew the energy out of me. I kissed him softly on the lips, slowly disengaging myself from him apologetically. "You need to rest," I told him. "I'll be in the other bedroom. You're welcome to stay if you wish. You could even order yourself room service if you're hungry. Or you can go. Although, I'd kind of like to see you again." I sighed. "But I'll understand if you don't want the complication a vampire cat girl would put in your life." I crawled out of bed and put on a nice and soft bathrobe the hotel provided. "Do you have a coffin in the other bedroom?" he asked curiously. I turned my nose up at the suggestion. "Most definitely not," I sniffed. "I am not a stereotype." He looked contrite. "Sorry," he apologized. "I didn't think that out before I asked." I found myself smiling a little. I couldn't stay mad at him. "It's okay. You still have a lot to learn about me." Then I left that bedroom, closing the door behind me. I made it through the common room and then carefully opened the door to my bedroom. Still in the bathrobe, I walked over to the lone piece of furniture in the room, a simple yet very cozy cardboard box I had chosen from the hotel selection. They always gave me first dibs on empty boxes. Curling up inside of it, I started to slowly slip into a torpor, wondering if my lover would still be there in the evening. I was barely awake when he slipped into my bedroom. He laid down on the carpet next to my bed. There wasn't room for him inside of it. There wasn't really even room for me, except as a cat girl, I exist in a semi-liquid state. I sensed his hand pressed against the side of my box. When I put my hand over the corresponding part on my side, my heightened senses could feel his warmth and even the faint drumbeat of his heart. I was moved by his actions. But in my heart, I knew there was far more than just a few layers of cardboard separating us. Still, for him, I would get a bigger box, or maybe trying to sleep in a real bed would work better. I had the impression he wasn't going anywhere. Well, except when he inevitably died a mortal death in several decades. Unless I did something about that, but I didn't dare think about that. I couldn't curse him like that. Could I? I would need to think on that. As I fell deeper into torpor, I let out a content sigh. Not because of what had happened this morning, although that was fantastic. No, for the first time in centuries, I finally had something and someone to look forward to. Eternity seems a little more manageable when you have someone to share it with.